Good morning, you're tuned into the M&M Show. That's Maria in the morning. The time is now 7:07, and I'm your host, TJ Fantel, better known as Navy Petty Officer Maria Alvarez. And I have a special guest right here in the studio with me. We have our very own Chaplain John Shelton in the building. Good morning, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, good morning, Maria. Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Ah, yes, evasive. He says he didn't he didn't answer the question. So, I was about to say Chaps. So, Chaps, what are we going to be talking about this morning?
Let's see here. I'm sorry. Did you ask me the question of the day? And I just No.
Okay. I like to ask what we're going to talk about first, and then I say, hey, before we do that,
there's a special order.
Order.
Okay, got it. So today we're going to be getting into something of resilience with a book called Resilience: Hard Won Wisdom to Living a Better Life, written by Navy SEAL Eric Greitens to another ex-Navy SEAL dealing with some really tough times. And I think there's some timeless wisdom we're going to be able to touch on and hopefully encourage some people to pick up the book.
I am completely here for it. But again, beat me to the gun. Before we get into all that, I do want to go ahead and ask your question of the day. So if you didn't know, today is technically National Summer Begins Day, aka like the longest day of the year. So what are you most looking forward to this summer?
Oh, wow. Definitely looking forward to my brother and sister coming out here to Sicily to visit. We'll go travel around a little bit sometime next month. It should be amazing.
Oh, they're gonna have a blast. I'm like Sicily.
The only problem is my brother's gluten free, so we'll have to. I need to pre plan some places.
No, there are quite a few places.
There are some places that have
gluten.
There's a gluten free pizza in Rome at the Trevi Fountain. It was as tasty as any pizza I've had in my life. Amazing. Yeah,
I bet.
Trevi Pizzeria.
I bet. So. Chaps and I, we want you to keep it right here. We're going to be talking all thing resilience on 105.9 AFN Signal. That is a station serving you, America's best. If you're just now joining us, I have Chaplain Shelton here in the building with me, and we're talking about a little thing called resilience. So, Chaps, for those who may not know what resilience is, what is resilience?
So resilience is kind of similar to our Navy virtue of toughness, the idea that you can take a hit and keep on moving. But resilience is the ability to do that over the course of a lifetime, over the course of several difficulties in life, tragedies, triumphs, all sorts of things, adapting and overcoming and finding ways to do it. And you have to actively seek it.
Mm. And so then we'll kind of circle back to then why resilience?
Oh, yeah.
Why are we talking about resilience?
Sure. So we're going to kind of follow the course of the book here. I'm just going to pull out some quotes because I'm really hoping that this will encourage our listeners who might be interested in learning how to apply more resilience in their life or to help others with this. We'll pick up this book called Resilience by Eric Greitens. So why resilience? Well, because resilience will lead to the type of wisdom and the type of character that will cause you not to suffer and cause you to overcome fear and cause you to have flourishing in your life. So, for example, it's going to help you attain what you desire. And in order to do that, you have to study, you have to think, you have to especially consider other people. And one of these quotes that I love here, sometimes we think that that studying these great philosophers, these great war fighters of the past, this is for the scholars and the strategists and the high-ranking people to sort of deal with. Eric Greitens pulls out this quote from an old general. He says this: any nation that draws too great a distinction between its scholars and its warriors will have its thinking done by cowards and its fighting done by fools. So resilience has to do with applying all of these things of wisdom and becoming that warfighter that makes up a Navy or an Army or a Marine Corps or an Air Force, which is capable of having people from the lowest levels to the highest levels that understand fighting and they understand wisdom at the same time. And if you have that as a community, then it enfranchises greater resilience for the whole force. So, you know, think of the days when like kings led armies. There's something cool to that, but at the same time, we can't do that. You know, what if our top three guys or gals, you know, get taken out in this early offensive because they were leading from the front. And we have different ways of doing war fighting now, but you've got to have that that understanding of why. Now, in the past, on this station, we've talked about classical education and and how we can learn quite a lot from those who went before us if we'll study deeply, because modern education really is designed to help you know what to know in order to pass a test, to not be a bad citizen, etc. Whereas classical education is designed to teach you not necessarily what to know or what to think, but rather how to know, how to think for yourself so that you can decide what will bring you joy in your life, purpose in your life. So this book is a great example of that applied wisdom, and it's applying it into the concept of resilience.
Yes, absolutely. I know that I have like flip-flopped those, so I wanted to hear the what before the why, because brain just kind of like worked that way. But Chaps and I, we want you to keep it right here. We're going to be focusing on two qualities that more specifically focus in and tune in on resilience. So keep it right here for that. If you're just now tuning in, I am here with Chaplain Shelton. We've been talking about resilience. So Chaps, I understand that we've been focusing on resilience, and it is such a broad subject that encompasses so many different things. So what would you say are some of the key characteristics, like when it comes to resilience, and or some that we can focus on right now?
Sure. So things like courage would make a lot of sense for resilience. Things like strength, like self-discipline, those are the sorts of things that everybody already knows about resilience. But would you have ever thought of humility as a key virtue to gaining resilience in life?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, it seems a little off, right? However, when you think about it, let me give you this quote from Neil Greiton's book, or Eric Greiton's book, pardon me. "I know some SEALs who are no longer willing to step into the ring or a dojo, not because they weren't strong and skilled, but because they didn't win dozens of fights in their time, not because of that, but because they did. They succeeded at something and became paralyzed by their success. They've become so attached to their reputation as tough, successful guys that they can't handle the thought of losing. They don't want to fail in front of others. The risk to the ego is too great, so they stop trying. They won't start a new career or even a new hobby. They won't go back to school." Do you see how that sort of applies there?
Yeah, okay. I'm seeing, because you can't necessarily like move forward if you're always kind of like focused on the back or not trying new things, as you said.
So. Exactly. Yeah. Because as they look back, they have already achieved greatness. They've achieved something that it's one of the most prestigious things someone can do in the warfighting communities. And then it's like, well, I'm going to go into this boxing ring, but what if I lose? Will that impugn all that I've achieved in my life? And so having that humility even to lose, is something that can help you stay strong and advance in the future. And so actually humility here is related to courage. So courage can give you, you know, the courage to lose, the courage to have the humility to do so. It's a really interesting thing. One of the things that I've really considered a lot in the military is this idea, especially talking with young folks who are thrust or foisted into a position of authority, and they don't feel like they have the training to do it. And you hear this phrase, "Fake it till you make it." Have you heard that before?
Of course.
Okay. Do you know anyone who practices fake it till you make it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's interesting because there's actually some research on fake it till you make it, and apparently it actually helps in a lot of ways. When you presume confidence, when you presume that you can do it and that you know what you're talking about, even when you don't fully comprehend it, it actually helps you to learn it, strangely enough. But there's this bad side to it as well, in which, you know, I've met NCOs who they say, "Sir, I don't know how to do my job, but I've gone too long without asking for help that I'm afraid to ask for help now." So too advanced to even ask for help. That's one of the dangers of not having humility in order to build resilience over time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. I'm completely following.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, humility also has to do with learning from others, which I think we'll talk about in the next segment. Mm-hmm. Has to do with, you know, staying, you know, out of your own mind all the time. You want to have a lot of internal dialogue, a lot of internal thinking, but you always want to incorporate the wisdom and experience of others, which is another aspect of humility. We'll chat with that in, I think, the next segment.
Yeah, of course. But first, I will be getting you your weather and exchange rate in a few minutes. You're just now tuning in. I am here with Chaplain Shelton. We've been talking about resiliency, but more so, we kind of focused in on humility and cued into that. So now, Chaps, you hinted earlier that there is such a thing of living too much in your own mind. So what does that look like?
So this can be a tough one, but it also has to do with humility. When you live in your mind too much, you can fail to learn some extraordinary details. So this book, Resilience by Eric Greitens, he's actually writing letters to a good friend of his who wrote a letter to him. This is a Navy SEAL. You know, Eric Greitens is one, and his friend was also a SEAL who, because of the difficulties that he encountered both in and outside of the Navy, he, you know, lost his job, started drinking to cope with the death of his brother, and drank. He said, he wrote in his letter that he didn't drink like a fish, but like a whale, to where he just blackout regularly. And he would write all these letters to, you know, Eric Greitens about all of his suffering and all of his trials and all of his troubles and how he was thinking about these things and processing them. And, you know, Greitens responds to him in this letter that's recorded here in this book, kind of with a little bit of, I mean, there's definitely compassion, but with some harshness. He says, look, you know, Walker is the name that they give the guy in the book. You know, you've talked to me a whole lot about your suffering and about the things you've been doing to cope and this and that and the other, but you haven't once written to me about how you've been thinking about how to overcome this by looking at others or by considering the suffering of others. Because, well, think about it. This sounds harsh, but he says, you're not the only person in life who's ever lost a brother. And so he says, if you would humble yourself and if you would look to others, then listen to what he says. He says, I've never heard you refer to someone else's story or struggle. You've been trapped in your own mind, in your own life, in your own story. Of course, you didn't know what to do. You never had to do this before, but other people have had to deal with it. So learn from them. So there's this idea that staying in your own mind will only lead to more pain, when you could have learned how to get out of it, right? So this guy's coping process was drinking quite a bit, and he was on the verge of maybe losing his job. In fact, he had been arrested. There's a possibility he might go to prison. But he never thought about leaning on someone else. You know, part of the, I don't know, can you see this being reasonable? Some of the most successful and top-performing human beings in life, do you think maybe sometimes once they get there, they're kind of uneasy about reaching out for help?
Oh,
and
yeah,
why?
Absolutely. I don't know. I don't know if it's kind of like that, not necessarily like the lack of trust, but it's just kind of like the, oh, well, nobody expects me to like falter, so I can't like necessarily reach out to people
maintain.
For that extra help. Yeah, maintaining the appearance.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we look at some of these really great war fighters that, you know, they're popular nowadays on podcasts and videos and such, and they seem to be people who are always capable of learning from others. Like, for example, I haven't read his book, but if you watch Dave Goggins on a podcast, he has so much to say and so much to teach. But as soon as somebody starts telling him something, he's all ears and he's listening like really intently and deeply. It's a really extraordinary thing. You know, Otto von Bismarck, he famously said, any fool can learn from his own mistakes. The wise man learns from the mistakes of others. So don't be trapped in your own life, your own mind, your own story. You have others who can help you. And some of the greatest war fighters in history have had others as advisors, as mentors even, that can help them through these times for sure. So don't suffer alone. That's the point. And you know, not to go too long on this point, but he has this section called philosophy. It's letter 11 of the book. And he talks about the importance of doing philosophy instead of just merely thinking about it. Because here we are, you and I, talking about these things, and that's one thing, but to actually apply them is different. And so finding ways to apply these things in life is so important. And I think that I don't know if it's a society thing or if it's just we're so busy with work. I think sometimes we don't have time to sit and think with other people, to have like a conversation where you're actively thinking about these deep things. I have something that might be a little controversial to you or to anyone who's listening concerning this, but I sometimes think that boys and girls, when they're together all the time, can I just say this? Like, I think that if anytime you have a group of boys talking, you know, and they're maybe starting to talk about some serious things, and then you add a girl into the mix, think of like, you know, middle school, high school, they're going to stop thinking about the serious things they were thinking about, and they're instead going to impress this girl. I don't know if that's the same the other way around. Is it, by the way, is that at all the case? Like, have you ever, or do you know if that's the case, like, where females, like, do they need time to themselves? Because I'm thinking, yeah, they do. I have counselees all the time that are lonely. You know, women only make up 20-ish% of the Navy. You know, men are the rest, and they have plenty of opportunity to spend time with one another. But finding community is one of the great ways to get outside of your mind. And sometimes you have to fight for it because, like I said, 20% of the Navy. Have you ever, like, felt like, wow, it's hard to find another girl who's like-minded?
Yeah, sometimes, but I mean, I work with a decent amount of females.
That's true. You have a special department here. You're right. There you go. If any women are listening that are thinking of cross-rating, you know, you could come here and work at AFN.
Yeah,
for sure. So yeah, finding community is one of those great ways to get outside of your mind as well.
Learning
from others.
No, I completely agree. Chops and I, we want you to keep it right here. We're continuing this conversation talking about resiliency on 105.9. You're just now tuning in. I've been in here with Chaps. We've been talking about resiliency, but we also talked a little bit about how humility played into that, Chaps. So now that led to us of the things of, you know, getting into your own head, how to get out of it, things you should look on and reflect in. And then you mentioned how Eric Greitens used philosophy to then, in turn, when he was speaking with his friend to, I guess, like, learn from it and get out of his head, you know, impart that wisdom for him.
Yeah, he was doing philosophy.
Yeah. So how can we, you know, as service members, as people here in Sigonella, how do you think philosophy plays into that? Like, us studying it or using it or, you know.
Okay, so you gave me the perfect setup, and RP1 Sanchez, my RP1, is going to be really excited that I'm including this. In fact, he sent me a text during the program. So we have a personal resiliency retreat coming up next weekend, the 28th through the 30th of June, and that's for any single, and you could be a married person who wants to come by themselves. It's not focused on couples. It's focused on you as an individual. It's you know, hotel, food's included, some great classes, some really good community exercises, highly like desirable to get into this. We have tons of spots left. I guess we haven't done the advertising we need. That's what we're doing right now. So please contact the chapel, contact the Credo office, contact Richard Graves, and we'll get you into that. I think I'll be at that particular one. So participating in events is one way to sort of employ this philosophy that we're talking about and to think about it in community within groups. How can I phrase this? You know, this is just too long of a quote to read. I'm just going to put it in this category. So famous philosopher Martin Heidegger, he talks about philosophy in this way. He says it's like a hammer. Right, you can think of a hammer abstractly. You can look at it. You can study it. You can weigh it. But until you actually use it, you don't know much about a hammer. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so using philosophy, using these things, actually has to be applied in your own life. Another way that we do that, by the way, my other RP1 Warnick, he's organized these things that we, which we now call Fireside Chat with Chaps. It's basically a time to get together, have fellowship. Talk, like I give like a 5-minute talk on some like ethical or philosophical point, and then the idea is people then make that their conversation point for the rest of the night. We do it at the Smoke Pit, and you know, we have refreshments and other things. That's all I can say. It's a really great time. If you want to be part of a community like that, reach out here to the chapel here in Sigonella. We'd be happy to invite you into that group. But there's a few things to think about practicing resilience. He gives this really amazing example in the book about, you know, here's this young mother holding a baby in her arms. At the same time, she's trying to cook dinner. Dinner's about to burn. She needs to grab the pot before, you know, it boils over on the stove. And the phone begins to ring. Meanwhile, her husband is upstairs writing something. She calls for him to help, and he's like, I'm writing. And then she stops everything. She walks in, and she says, I need you to listen to me. Like, would you help me if there was a fire? And he's like, well, yeah, of course I would. And then Eric Greitens comes in and he's like, there is no fire, but you prepare for the fire by doing the right thing now. So the way I usually put it is this, you have a guy or a gal who comes home from work, you know, they've been working all day, and then they're tired, they take off their boots, and then they're asked, you know, by their spouse, hey, honey, would you take out the trash while I'm doing this thing? And it's like, I don't want to do that because I'm so tired. And I just, why didn't you ask me 5 minutes ago before I took my boots off, you know, sort of thing. Or, oh, do you need me to go back to the store to grab this thing for dinner that you cook? It's interesting because I ask a lot of husbands, would you be willing to sacrifice yourself to save your family? And every single one of them are always like, absolutely. Mothers, you know, definitely willing to sacrifice themselves for their children. Happens sometimes, you know. It's interesting. We're willing to die for our loved ones. We're just not willing to take out the trash.
Yeah.
You know? Like, why is that? Why is it we think we'll be there in the big time? We can't be there in the small time. And so philosophy, resilience doesn't have to be this huge abstract idea. It can also be taking small steps day by day that you intentionally do it. And one of the ways you do it is by listening to this program, right? Listening, talking about these talks, having a community that talks about them. And that kind of brings us to the last portion, which is, well, let me ask you this. What is worse, fear or pain?
I think fear is worse because it, like, yes, pain sucks. And of course, I know we both mm-hmm. had knee surgeries, right? That's painful.
Yes, indeed.
But it's also the fear of, like, well, if I didn't end up getting, you know, said surgery, it could have, like, became worse, like, in the outcome, you know? So it's just, like, not taking those risks, not taking those chances that can overall either bring joy or excitement, or maybe it will bring a little pain. It's the same of, like, falling in love, you know? It's like, yes, it'll be painful getting your heart broken, but at the same time, it's like, maybe you'll find your lifelong partner. So.
That's right. You have to risk some pain in order to gain something. You have to overcome the fear. That's interesting consideration. I think a lot of people in the moment would say that pain is worse, but Eric Greitens makes a good point, just like you. He's saying, like, this fear is probably the most paralyzing, crippling thing. He says this, so, you know, SEALs have to go through this thing called BUDS, which is extremely difficult. And then there's 1 week that's called Hell Week. And it's named aptly, I would say. Having never been, only knowing people that have gone through it, he says this, we stood there in a line, and as we watched the sun drift down, they came out with their bullhorns and got inside of our minds. Say goodbye to the sun, gentlemen. Say goodnight to the sun. Tonight is going to be very, very long night, gentlemen. They reminded us that tonight was going to be a first full night of Hell Week. And do you know how many more nights we have to go? We just kept taunting them. It's like, hey guys, here you are enjoying this beautiful sunset. And this is your last moment of peace, because once that sun hits the water, we are going to absolutely destroy you and cause you so much pain. So Eric Greitens, as he's like standing on the beach watching the sun, as the sun touched the water, people started running out of the line to go to the bell. You know, they have to ring this bell if they want to quit, because the only people that can be SEALs are the people who want to be there.
Yeah.
And people choose to quit. And he said, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people quit. He counted 21. I'm sorry. He counted, I think it was 17 or 18 people that quit that night. And so they started with a class of 237. And they only ended up with 21. Now, here's the point. He says that he can count on one hand the number of people who quit during an actual exercise, during an actual evolution. Everyone else quit during these intimidation times. What does that tell you? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's definitely fear. It's kind of like the, oh man, well, I might as well quit before I fail at doing something.
Yeah, the fear even of pain, right? Versus, these people might have had the very strength to overcome the thing that they were fearing, but they didn't stop. They didn't put it into it and actually quit during the pain. They quit during the fear. And so pushing through your fear and learning to do that is one of the greatest ways to overcome your weaknesses, your sorrows, and to build resilience. That kind of sums it up. There's so much to this book. We're just scratching the surface. Highly encourage you guys to pick this one up. It's fantastic. Eric Greitens, Resilience.
Of course. And thank you so much for joining me. It was a pleasure having you here in the building. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, Chops. It was a pleasure hearing from you.
It is always a pleasure, Maria. Thank you so much. Blessings to you. Bye now.
All right. You're listening to 105.9 AFN Sigonella, serving America's best.